It has stood the test of time. God's book, the Bible. Still relevant in today's complex world. It is written. Sharing hope around the globe.
Thanks for joining me today. You know, I'll never forget how dark the darkness was. My family and I went caving. And while we loved seeing the incredible beauty of rock formations, and while we enjoyed clambering around on those great rocks and seeing the stalagmites and stalactites squeezing through those narrow gaps, to be honest with you, that's the part I really don't enjoy. While we were doing all of that, we also discovered just how dark darkness can be. When you turn off your flashlight, it's dark down there, darker than the darkest night. It's a darkness you can almost feel. It is dark. I remember us all agreeing how thankful we were to have light. We realized that without it, we'd be in very big trouble, even with our experienced friends guiding us. There was no way in the world we could have ever got out of that dark place without our light. What a relief it was to know that we had light to guide us out. As long as we turned on the light, we'd be okay. But without the light, we were helpless, stuck in the darkest darkness a person could ever experience. You know, we're living in a dark world, perhaps the darkest it's ever been since time began. This is an age of materialism, postmodernism, cynicism, and spiritualism. Our societies are darkened by crime and vice, substance abuse and child abuse, aggression, depression, oppression, and recession. Financially, the planet seems to be teetering on the brink of absolute ruin. It isn't surprising anymore to hear of whole countries whose economy is tanked. And the resulting shockwaves affect financial markets all around the world. It's tempting to think that there's no way out of the darkness enveloping the world, except for one thing, the light. God has left us with a light. Jesus, the light of the world, came to planet Earth 2 millennia ago to save humanity from its depravity and to reveal to the world the character of His Heavenly Father. And He left us with His holy word, the Bible, which David described in Psalm 119 and verse 105 as being a lamp and a light. The Old Testament tells the story of the creation of the world, the calling of God's people, the lives and examples of the patriarchs and the prophets, the giving of God's law, and the journeying of the Israelites. The New Testament introduces us to Jesus, His life and ministry, and the story of the early Christian church, how just a dozen men brought the message of salvation to an entire planet. But what about the days in which we live? Does the Bible speak to an age where economies are falling apart and people are searching for answers? Does the Bible talk to the time in Earth's history when the majority of the signs of Christ's return have been fulfilled? Does the Bible speak specifically to a world of which it could be said is in the dark? Well, yes, it does. God's Word, the Holy Bible, has special light for people living in the last days of Earth's history. The final book of the Bible is the book of Revelation, which God says was written to show His people things which must shortly come to pass. As God guided the Old Testament church and the early Christian church, God seeks to guide His church today with what's written in the book of Revelation. So, what is the book of Revelation actually all about? For the uninitiated, the book of Revelation can be hard going. I remember as a boy deciding I was going to read and understand the book of Revelation. So I took down the big family Bible my dad had bought from Reader's Digest, and I turned to the book of Revelation and started reading. The plan was to read it through and figure it out. Do I need to tell you it didn't quite work out that way? I read about 7 churches I'd never heard of. I read about seals and trumpets and locusts and water turning to blood, thunders, horns, 7 plagues, people coming back from the dead, beasts, something that came up from the bottomless pit, whatever that was. I didn't have a clue. I put the family Bible back on the bookshelf and hoped that maybe one day I'd be able to understand the book of Revelation. I hoped, but I sure wasn't confident. Well, years later, I discovered that the book of Revelation, while clothed in symbols and signs, is a book that actually can be understood. Now, I'm not going to claim to have the inside track on every last word and phrase in the book of Revelation, but I want to tell you today that the major themes of the book of Revelation can be clearly understood, and that they'll lead you to a very good place. In fact, the very first verse of the book of Revelation helps us to understand God's purpose in giving us that book. I'll tell you more about it in just a moment. Time for today's Bible question. Here it is. My question is to do with the 10% tithe. Is it 10% of my gross pay or my net pay? Now, there's a practical question. Thank you. God asks us to return to Him a tenth, or would that be a tenth, of our increase. His people did it in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the intent of the tithe was to support the Levites, to support the priests, the work of the ministry. Here's what we read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the answer, in tithes and offerings. So that's interesting. To not return the tithe to God is to steal from God. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. We don't tithe so that God will bless us, but we tithe knowing that God will do so. He has promised. And in case you're tempted to think that tithing was just for the Old Testament church, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. He's referring to tithing. So do we tithe on our gross or net pay? Now that is, on what you get before tax, or after tax. Something to remember. Jesus ought to come before the tax man, just like you tithe on what you earn before you pay your rent or before you pay your phone bill. Don't worry, you're not going to be worse off. God has said, them that honor me, I will honor. You cannot outgive God. Put Him first. He puts you first all the time. Thanks for your questions. If you'd like me to answer your Bible question on this program, go to itiswritten.com and you'll be able to submit your questions there. I look forward to doing my best to answer your Bible question in a future program.
If you have a Bible question for Pastor John Bradshaw, please write to It Is Written, Box O, Thousand Oaks, California, 91359, or visit our website, itiswritten.com, and send us your questions online.
I'm glad you've joined me today. We're discussing the book of Revelation, a book that's often confused and misunderstood. What's it really all about? A few years ago, a man told me that his Sunday school teacher reckoned that the book of Revelation was nothing more than a Stephen King book tucked into the back of the Bible. Imagine, the book of Revelation on the same level as Cujo and The Shining. If you want to know what the book of Revelation really is all about, all you have to do is open it up and read the very first verse. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. That's Revelation 1 verse 1. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book's purpose is to reveal Jesus. And how important is that in a world where Jesus is largely unknown, hugely misunderstood? While planet Earth is coming apart at the seams, God points us to a book He inspired to be a light in the dark. In fact, the third verse of the book of Revelation says, blessed is he who reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. With respect to Stephen King, I'm not sure it could be said that a person who reads his books is going to be blessed. The Apostle John wrote Revelation to help us focus on what's really important down here at the end of time. You know that John was very close to Jesus, and you see that reflected in what he wrote. Throughout the book of Revelation, he presents a number of portraits of Jesus, insights into the person and character of Jesus Christ. And these portraits help us understand the key themes of the book of Revelation. They're like a light in the dark. Now, just 5 verses into the book of Revelation is the first portrayal of Jesus found in the 404 verses that make up the book of Revelation. John writes, "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood." Just this far into the apocalypse, this book that some still claim is a closed or a sealed book, John introduces us to his friend Jesus as the Savior of the world. He describes Jesus in the book of Revelation as one who has loved the world. Even that much is important, pointing out that Jesus takes a personal, loving interest in this world and what takes place here. He isn't detached from the reality of our daily lives. He loves us, and he washed us from our sins in his blood. Here's a key point. One of the very first things done by the writer of the book of Revelation is to introduce Jesus as the Savior of the world and explain the means by which salvation can be possessed by the believer. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He washed us from our sins. He did that for everyone. And this good news is found in the 5th verse of the book of Revelation. Jesus is the Savior of the world. You know, the world over, there are people whose religion is nothing more than a form of slavery, to be honest. In many pagan religions, people must appease hard-to-please gods. Even in many Christian faiths, believers aren't sure how they can have eternal life. They try to be good enough to go to heaven. Or they think salvation comes by penances or pilgrimages or good works or offerings made. As good as some of those things might be, they're not what brings cleansing into our lives. Jesus, the light of a dark world, brings salvation to us through his blood. That is, by his death, he paid the penalty for our sins. We can't pay that penalty ourselves. We certainly cannot earn salvation. It's a gift, and we receive it by faith from the Savior of the book of Revelation. So, the book of Revelation is a book of salvation through Christ. Revelation 3:21 has Jesus knocking on the door of the human heart, seeking admission so that he can come into our heart and change the life. Revelation chapter 7 has the saved being sealed with the seal of God. Revelation 14 talks about God's saints. And the book of Revelation ends with God's people reigning with him in a land where there is no more sin. What's Revelation about? Revelation is a book of salvation. God knew how much we'd need assurance down here in the close of time regarding salvation from sin. In a time where there's never been so much sin, God tells us that there is a way out of sin and a way out of guilt and a way out of shame, and that way is through Jesus. How do I know? Because the book of Revelation tells me that. Now then, just 2 verses later, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, there's presented another portrait of Jesus. Let's look at that verse, Revelation 1, 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." We're just 7 verses into the book of Revelation. Remember, a book that many people, many Bible teachers, many whole churches maintain is a closed book and is not for us today. Just 7 verses in, there's a portrayal of the greatest event in all of human history since the incarnation of Christ. Another key theme of the book of Revelation is the return of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus is mentioned in the book of Revelation in its 7th verse, and then a little bit later in Revelation chapter 14. I'll read verses 14 and 16. Revelation 14, 14 and 16, they say this, "And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." Again, this is the second coming of Jesus. Now, this time it's mentioned in the context of the 3 angels' messages, the last gospel message to be proclaimed to the world. the second coming of Jesus, spoken of 7 verses into the book of Revelation, is emphasized again in Revelation 14. And then in Revelation 19, another picture of Jesus coming back to the world. This is one of the most stunning passages of Scripture that you'll find. It says, starting in verse 11, Revelation 19 and verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." Now I jump down to verse 16, where it says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Did God know that in the 21st century, with all of its difficulties and burdens and complexities and pressures, that people would need hope? Did God know that the hope of the return of Jesus would help a person see beyond the darkness and the difficulties of this world? Yes, He did. And so He made the subject of the second coming of Jesus a major point of emphasis in the book of Revelation. He hasn't forgotten about this world. He hasn't forgotten about you. And He's coming back soon to end the sin and the tragedy and the heartbreak experienced in a world where sin has done a deadly work. Revelation tells us that. Now, if you want to, you can be intimidated by the seals and the trumpets, and you can do battle with thunders and plagues. And I'm not saying those things are not important. They are. They're very important. That's why God had them put into the book of Revelation. But before you write off Revelation and put it in the too tough basket, remember what it's about. A major theme of Revelation is the second coming of Jesus. God tells us today there is hope because Jesus is coming back soon. Now, there's another portrait of Jesus I'd like to show you in the book of Revelation, one that is especially designed to refute Satan's major last days deceptions. I'm glad you've joined me today. The book of Revelation, what's it really all about? Is there more to it than bloody water, blisters, boils, and beasts? The book of Revelation opens with John writing that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right from the get-go, God tells us that the purpose of this book is to help us to know Jesus and understand God's plans for the final days of Earth's history. So who is this Jesus who is revealed in the Bible's last book? Revelation calls Him the Alpha and the Omega. Now, Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, and Revelation was written originally in Greek. So John's calling Jesus the A and the Z, or Z if you like, the beginning and the end. That's in Revelation. Jesus is called in Revelation the Bright and Morning Star, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Great Mighty Conquering One, the Lamb as it had been slain, the humble servant who went meekly to His death so that we could live forever. In Revelation, He's the one who walks in the midst of the churches. He's the Son of God. He's the faithful and the true witness. He's the Amen. And remember, in Revelation, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, that's what Revelation really is all about. Amidst the symbols and the signs, there's a Savior, Jesus, who wants to be known, because if people only got to know Jesus for themselves, they'd experience real peace and true blessing. Now, let's just look at one more portrait of Jesus found in the Bible's last book. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7, John writes, "Worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Now, keep in mind, the final great crisis in the book of Revelation centers on the question of worship, with the beast calling for worship in Revelation 13 and the Lamb seeking worship in the very next chapter. So, why is it that Jesus is worthy of worship at all? Now, you find the answer in that verse we read, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. I'll read it again. It says, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." In earth's last conflict, we're reminded in the book of Revelation that Jesus is the Creator. Remember that John 1 and verse 3 says that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You read virtually the same thing in Colossians chapter 1. Now, that's not to say Jesus did all of creation independent of the Father and of the Spirit, but it is to say that according to the Bible, Jesus was the active agent in creation. And when we're called to worship Him, we're called to worship Him as the Creator. Now, this is God's reassurance to a skeptical world, to a postmodern world, to an unbelieving world that, no, we didn't get here by accident. We're not the result of a random process, a chance big bang that took place independent of any real purpose. It's in the book of Revelation, this hard to understand, this mystical, shadowy revelation, that Jesus helps us understand our true value. Revelation reassures us that we were formed in the image of God, created to live forever, fearfully and wonderfully made, as David wrote in the book of Psalms. The idea that humanity is simply the result of a freak chance occurrence robs you of your true identity and your real worth. It was William Jennings Bryan who was quoted as having said, "All the ills from which America suffers can be traced to the teaching of evolution." I'm not sure it's necessary to go that far, but when you teach young people that they're nothing more than animals, why should you be surprised when they act that way? A comedian once said that if evolution were true, how come mothers only have two hands? Well, argue all you want, but in the last book of the Bible, the often confused book of Revelation, God emphasizes in the book of Revelation that Jesus is the Creator, and we are to worship Him as the Creator. We're the works of His hands. We're made for a purpose, and that purpose is to know and serve God, to realize our full potential in Christ, to put off sin and to put off all things that are destructive, and to put on Jesus and live a life of eternal worth where we're kept by the love of a merciful, loving Savior. Back in 2003, Elizabeth Gibson was walking one morning in Manhattan, New York City, when she spotted something brightly colored wedged between two large trash bags on a sidewalk near Broadway and 72nd Street. She was curious about this, so she examined the trash a little more closely and discovered that what was left as trash was actually a painting. She said, "It didn't seem right for any piece of art to be discarded like that." So, just 20 minutes before the garbage truck came, she took that painting home and hung it, a little bit bigger than 3x4, on the wall of her apartment. Well, it turned out to be a painting by Mexican artist Rufino Tamayo. It'd been stolen 20 years before. When Ms. Gibson found that out, she contacted authorities and the painting was eventually sold at auction for more than $1 million. And there it had been, languishing in the trash. You know, too many people consider the book of Revelation to be a little more than trash, and they go right past it without taking the time to look at it and understand its true value. Valuable it is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it exists to point us to the one who offers peace and freedom and salvation and eternal life to all who want it. Don't make the mistake of failing to see Jesus in the book of Revelation. We've seen today portraits of Jesus from the book of Revelation. He is our Savior. He tells us in Revelation how we can be saved. He's coming back soon to take us home. And He's the Creator of the world. Now, as important as they are, there's more to Revelation than beasts and horns. Revelation isn't the book of the beast, it's the book of the Lamb. Read Revelation to find Jesus, and you'll meet Him there, and He'll transform your life. Thanks for joining me today. It's in the book of Revelation that Jesus says He knocks on the door of our hearts. Let's pray together right now and invite Him to be the Lord of our hearts today. Father in heaven, I thank You for the book of Revelation. And even though there are some things in the book of Revelation that cause us to scratch our head, really they're put there to drive us to study deeper. I pray that we can see the key topics, the main things, all You wish for us to see and grab a hold of. In Revelation, I pray You'll help us find Jesus. I ask You that this revelation of Jesus Christ would truly reveal Him to us and help us to have faith in Jesus that will see us out of this world and into the world to come. Keep us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.